Okay, well today I'm going to be talking about Avahi or Avahi. There's a bit of ongoing debate about the exact pronunciation. Perhaps we should ask a scientist. My name is Trent Lloyd. I'm one of the authors of Avahi.
And I'm Leonard Pottering, the other one. Yeah.
So basically, first up, we're just going to talk a bit about what Avahi is and what it does. For those of you who don't know, who does know what Avahi is? Who's used it? And who uses it every day? Right. So probably a good idea. So I'll try and not take too long, but some people are confused about some of the terms and that sort of thing.
But actually, who doesn't know it?
Oh, yeah, so that's a good question. Yeah, who doesn't? I said it's impressive. See, last year I asked that question, everyone put their hand up. So we're getting somewhere. Right, so just for some of you who don't know, my name's Trent Lloyd. My real profession is a systems administrator, network administrator. I sort of do coding and stuff for fun. I don't want to do it as a job yet, anyway. I've obviously been a developer out of here, and I've contributed to a few projects with random patches and stuff. I was doing some work on Ubuntu, but for the last few months, I haven't had the time to do that, so, yep.
And my name is Leonard Pottering. I'm a student in computer science from Hamburg University in Germany, and I'm the developer of Avahi, apparently, and I also am writing the Pulse Audio Sound Service and a few other free software projects, and if you want to contact me, just use that contact details. Yeah.
I'm sure these slides will be up on the GNOME website or whatever, or I'll publish them probably on my blog as well.
And definitely on Planet GNOME.
For you. Mine's on Planet Free Desktop. I'm not on Planet GNOME, unfortunately. But
but I am.
Yeah. So what is Avahi? Obviously, most people know, but it's essentially it's a free software implementation of the ZeroConf stack. It's LGPL licensed. What's that? That's further on. A lot of the current Linux distributions are now shipping it. Ubuntu in Edgy, they've shipped it, although not enabled by default. Fedora Core 5, the upcoming Red Hat Enterprise has it. And I think there's a whole list on the website.
And I heard that even SUSE will ship it by default installed in the next release.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah, as this is a technical conference, and obviously some of you guys know a lot about it, but we're just going to go over some of the basics for those of you who are sort of not quite sure and that sort of thing. So ZeroConf is made up of three components. The first of which is automatically assigning addresses on a network. The second of which is resolving names on a network. And the third is discovering services. I'm just going to go through and explain each of those a little more. The idea behind automatic address allocation is that rather than having a central DHCP server or configuring an IP manually on your machine, you should just be able to plug into a network and be able to talk to the other computers. You may not be able to get out to the internet, but at least you can share files with someone else or have a chat to them and that sort of thing. And the idea behind name resolution is rather than typing in as IPs, if you know the name of the machine, for example, my machine is called Lafayette Laptop, which is extremely original, so I can just use lafayette-laptop.local, and that way I don't have to figure out what my IP is on the network. That works both with auto-configured addresses and on a normal network where you've got a DHCP server, obviously like we have at the conference here. And the third part, which is probably what people know Avahi for most, is service discovery. Basically, where you just broadcast out that I've got an SSH server running, or I've got a printer here, or you know any service you like. The Windows has the network neighborhood, which is mainly used for file sharing. Avahi is a bit more generic. You can advertise most services with it and anything you want. And many games that you play often have a mechanism similar where you can see the games on the network and click it and join. Avahi provides sort of a similar functionality to that. Just want to go through a few of the terms because some people are a little confused. So ZeroConf, I've explained before, is just the term for the general framework. Bonjour is the name that Apple have given that technology. Apple actually sort of effectively invented it and wrote the standards. Rendezvous is what it used to be called, but I think some other company trademarked the name Rendezvous and they got upset at Apple and they changed it to Bonjour. And then there's Rendezvous, which David likes saying, as you heard him mention earlier, which is obviously just sort of mixing the two together. Avahi is our implementation of this protocol. Obviously, Bonjour is another. There are a few others, including HAL, PyZeroConf. There's a Java one. and there's a few others around. Probably Bonja and Avahir are the more, and Howl are probably the more popular ones. Pardon? Avahir? Oh, Avahir is it's a primate sort of species genus. It comes from the sort of gnome tradition of naming things like that. And I found that name and I decided I liked it. So yeah, it's not really a gnome project, but I liked the name, so I stuck with it. That's where it came from. It was actually originally, Leonard was writing a project called Flex MDNS, and I had Avahir, which started back in 2004, which is David's fault. and we decided to merge our projects, but we did adopt the name Avahir, because Leonard had already written a fair bit that was better than mine at the time, and my networking code was a little bit better, and so we sort of merged together, and off it went. So MDNS is basically just DNS, but over multicast, so rather than having a centralized server, you broadcast out to the network, you query, and everyone responds. There's no central server. And DNS SD is service discovery over DNS. That works both over normal DNS on the internet and over multicast DNS, as will become a little clearer. IPv4LL is basically the name given to how to assign addresses automatically on a network when there is no central server. Microsoft call this a PIPA, and then now they call it IPAC. I have no idea why they keep changing the name, but you know, that's Microsoft for you. But they implement the same thing, I think, since 2000. It was the XP that first introduced that.
Yeah, that was actually Windows ME.
It was so. ME, okay, yeah. So getting the link local addresses, Windows does that, OS X does that, Linux does that.
Or actually, it's more complicated. I think Windows 98 implements a PIPA, and Windows ME implements IPAC.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I think the newest one implements IPv4LL, which all is essentially the same, but yeah.
Yeah, that's Microsoft for you. This is getting terribly... Right. So I'm just going to show a couple of demos for those that haven't seen this in action. Fingers crossed that they work correctly. Having a double screen. Wow, that didn't happen. That one's changing, okay. all right. What I'm gonna do now is I'm just gonna start the program that will get an automatic address, which, oh, I already did. Yes, that's the autoconf address that Avahir is giving you. Does this take -k as well? Good. Consistency. I like that. There we go. So now it's going to go off and grab an address, and it just takes a few seconds to do that, and hopefully this is going to work now, and then if we start Rhythmbox, theoretically, hopefully. Yeah, I don't know. That keeps coming up. Wow, why doesn't it work? Maybe it's already started. It is. And now you'll see in the bottom left here, there's someone called Sucker, which is actually Leonard's laptop. fantastic. Yes, it's supposed to be a demo. This is going terribly. Let's try now. Aha, look, and there's music. And I can now, in fact, play music, which will then be streamed across from his laptop. So, yeah. That's not good. Okay. One of the other things that works is what games? Game now has a plugin which allows us to chat on a local network. And theoretically. Aha, see? And there we go. And obviously we didn't have to put any IPs in or anything like that. that's the working part of the demo. So
the nice thing is that this doesn't require any explicit server to configure, but everyone who is part of this network could just start up game this way and will show up in the buddy lists of all others who have who are running game this way. Something recent, I don't know, something like 2.0 beta or whatever.
Yeah, that's 2.0 beta 5. I'm not sure what version it came in. That actually doesn't use the Avahi API natively. It uses HAL, and we've got a compatibility layer in Avahi for applications that use the HAL API. Hopefully they'll port it to Avahi, and we'll like them more. But they have, apparently. The telepathy does indicate it, apparently, but I haven't tried it. Yeah. And I don't know if they're using Avahi directly or... They are. Fantastic. Telepathy is better than GX. Yeah. Oh, yes, that might work if they turn the wireless back on. I'm not paranoid, honest. Noticed in Ubuntu, like, it takes forever to start DHCPing. I don't know why. It's what? This is so not going to work. It doesn't depend on it. There is a bug report about some embedded devices that it fails to compile on, but we hope to fix that. But it does support both V4 and V6, but it doesn't depend on it. If there's no V6 there, it'll work fine. What's showing the local services? Avahi discovers this little utility we've got that just prints out all the services that are confined on the network. In this case, it's just our two laptops. You can see we've got, you know, SSH, VNC, Wino, which is the GNOME VNC server advertises that. There's a few others there. There's the... that's actually what we call a static service in Avahi. There's a file you can drop into the configuration here. It says advertise that I've got SSH. That actually isn't part of SSH itself. Yeah.
Actually, we would like to see if distributions would start to ship that static service configuration file by default in the SSH package. So, since we apparently have some Debian and Ubuntu people here, please do that.
The other thing about Avahi is that it's not dependent on the network sort of being there at the time. It'll happily, if you change network interfaces, change wireless networks, it'll pick that up. The conference network's working. Oh, there we go. So that's the conference network. Oops. This is getting remarkably annoying.
You want to can this one?
So there's a whole bunch of stuff. You know, they're people's machines. Someone's got an N800. Is that the N80? N800, yeah, that sounds cool. The more people playing music. In fact, if we go back to Rhythmbox now, we can play somebody else's music, maybe. Except it doesn't appear to appear. Do we? Wow, that's because Rhythmbox sucks. It's not Avahi, right? Pardon?
Yeah, the problem. But you can send it a sick hub.
Wow, I can't connect it. I don't know why that is. We definitely let's try that one. This is a big long share.
So if anything doesn't work...
Yeah, I can see that because it's still trying to retrieve the playlist. So maybe we'll leave that for a minute. Oh, there we go. Come on. There we go. So I think that's pretty cool. Okay. Right, so. That's a good question. There's some stuff we're going to talk about later about that. I think on a wired network, Apple claims will scale to about 1,000 hosts. On wireless, I'm actually not sure. But one of the disadvantages of multicast on wireless is that it's transmitted at a slower rate than the standard traffic. They call it basic rate. It'll go at like 1 or 2 meg. AVI is designed so that it backs off. It doesn't just keep chattering constantly and it caches records that it sees and that sort of thing. So there's a fair bit there to stop it from chattering too much, but there is a sort of upper limit to the point where that gets inconvenient. Is there any other questions before I go ahead? Yes. I don't think MPD does. I know Banshee does. That's another client. And then there's a couple programs for doing the DAP sharing, but I don't know about MPD. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's on the wish list. Well, there you go. So who's submitting the patch? Maybe if you annoy me later, we can have a look at it. Great. We'll change slides. It'll be fantastic. It's my mobile phone. Pardon? It is on your phone. I just bought it. I didn't even know it had this feature. It's just Bluetooth. It does! So just going to go over some of the newer things for those who were at the talk last year. Who was at my talk last year? A few of you. Ah, hello. So a few things have happened since last year. The automatic address assignment stuff was added. When did you do that? It was a few months ago, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So we added that in. That wasn't something that was in AVAHI. It was another implementation, but I'm told at one of the Canonical conferences or a bunch of conferences, it sent the whole network nuts. So
actually, we added this one because...
I think that bug was fixed, though.
Because ours works so much better than any other implementation, because ours is so much more secure. Because our implementation does change routing and dropping of privileges, and the most other implementations didn't do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
I haven't tested it with this one in a big installment, but it seems to work quite well.
So we ported to Solaris and NetBSD. There's also support for a few others like OpenBSD. And one of the ones that I like personally is that we actually run on Mac OS X.
Since AVAHI provides a compatibility layer for the original Bonjour API, you can actually run all the Apple applications which link against a Bonjour on top of AVAHI. It's very strange thing to do because you have to do some tricks with LD preload because of the way Apple compiles their libraries, but it works surprisingly well. Of course.
Windows doesn't have well.
Actually, we would like to see AVAHI ported to Windows, but no one of us is interested in doing that. So if anyone here in this room is interested in doing some Windows porting, he's welcome to talk to us.
We also got a logo, and we got AVAHI that all grew running off free desktop and the generosity of free desktop earlier. But now we've got our own sort of stuff, so that's just a bit of growth for us. There's a nice list of numbers now. There's 37 applications on the AVAHI website that now have AVAHI support, and 19 distributions with a fair few enabling it by default. I know Ubuntu in the next release will, Red Hat Enterprise 5 and Fedora Core does, and apparently SUSE may shortly. There's also a few embedded distributions that have got it, like OpenWRT and Open Embedded, and that new one whose name escapes me. And there's also a few hardware devices. There's something called the Armadillo. It's like a little home file server. And another one called the Bubba mini server, and they've got AVAHI installed in them as well.
Actually, I'm quite sure that there are many more embedded devices who use it, but these ones are the publicly accessible ones.
So there's a few things that we are working on. I'll leave to describe this one.
Yeah, I'm currently writing my master's thesis, my diploma, but actually in German, about AVAHI scalability. Because when Apple designed the MDNS and DNSD protocol, they designed it for small networks, like home networks, with about 100 or 200 of machines. And in OLPC, they want to run AVAHI in a network with a massive number of nodes. Like originally they said 10,000, but it's going to be more or something like 2,000. So right now, if you run AVAHI like that in such a big network, it will produce too much traffic. So what I'm currently doing is fixing all the mistakes Apple made when they designed the protocol, and modify our stuff a little bit so that it can make it take advantage of the specific features a mesh network has. So yeah, that's my current thesis. This one currently Avahi supports already two different protocols. One is multicast DNS and one is classic DNS. And I will add a new one, which I will call mesh DNS. And currently, if you have a domain name which ends in .local, it is automatically resolved via multicast DNS. And everything else is resolved via unicast DNS. And I will add the special domain .mesh, and that one will automatically resolved in via mesh DNS. Of course, but I don't know. I don't know how much interest there is. The OPC people, of course, have interest in it, but yeah, actually, it's pretty neat technology because you could even use it in a citywide network, in a citywide mesh network, and see all the services around you in a wide range, and use printers in your borough. And so, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, the IETF and Apple have had a bit of a head butting with the standards. It's been submitted by Stuart as a standard, but there's another standard which sort of sucks more, in the opinion of us anyway, that they decided that it's better and only does like one third of the things that the Apple stuff does. But because they've got that, they're sort of ignoring the Apple stuff, and it's just sat as a draft standard for 3 years now or something.
Yeah, people should know that MDNS is not an internet standard or an internet RFC or anything like that. It's a documentation which was submitted to become an RFC, but never succeeded, and Apple lost interest in it. Not in the protocol, but in the process of making it an official RFC, because nowadays it's quite accepted. So, I mean, yeah, they're not interested in it anymore. So, from that perspective, it's very unlikely that I will succeed in pushing this my modified protocol to RFC if the original protocol hasn't. This one is another one I'm currently working on. I've during the flight here to Australia, I've been working on that one. Currently, we have already 37 applications which make use of Avahi services, but there are so many more applications which could make use of it. Most notably, these are applications like Evolution, where you can configure a POP3 server or an IMAP server. And right now, you always have to enter the full name and the port number and whatever. And tools like that, it could use a common GTK user interface dialog where you just could browse for local services, so that it's similar to the file chooser dialog. Instead of always entering the full path name, you can now click on the file chooser button, and it shows you all available files. And so we would have a similar thing which behaves similar to this one and is as easy to use. Which you can use to browse for services. So I hope that every application like Evolution or like Glom or any other email application will make use of it eventually.
Now, wide area service publishing is something that is supported, and the same that Apple do. We currently can only browse wide area, and wide area is basically going out to the internet looking for services rather than on the local network. As I say, yeah, we can only browse those currently. We can't publish. That is something that, his name escapes me.
Federico Lucifredi.
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it anyway. He's been working on that, or he was promising to us for a while. He's doing that as part of his university project or something. Hopefully we'll get that, and then you can publish services over the internet.
Actually, that means that you can browse for other people's music over the internet. So not just stealing music in the local area network, but also on the internet.
Yeah, the topic of the Avahi channel at the moment is Avahi more than just stealing music. But, and one other thing that someone's been talking about recently is NatPNP. Is Ted here? Yes. It's all your fault. And you've got until next year when we do this again to get that working. So do you want to quickly say something? I was just about to say, do you want to explain what that is quickly? Did you really want a microphone?
The idea is that you've got a home network that's behind an IPv4 NAT, so your machines don't have public IP addresses, but you want those services to be accessible on the internet. and NAT-PMP is a protocol for easily allowing the router to open some ports that you want forwarded in, and then that can work with things like wide area service publishing to easily allow people to connect to your services without needing to manually configure the port forwarding.
Yeah, hopefully it's far less crack than UPnP is. It's like SOAP over HTTP over multicast is just...
So... But they are the only ones. So actually, this is required to make wide area service publishing any useful, because you can, of course, register a service on the internet, but if there's no way to actually access a service, it's pretty useless. So with NAT-PMP or that universal PNP port mapping, this should be fixed. Or should
of
be
course, doable. If we're all using IPv6, it wouldn't be a problem. So. This is failing miserably. Oh, fantastic. Who here is sort of interested in the programming side of Avahi and how to add into your applications? Enough people to make it worthwhile. Fantastic. Basically, we're just going to go through a couple examples of using the Avahi API in a program to browse and publish services. We're not sort of going to get down all to the nitty-gritty, but you get the general idea. If anyone's got an application they want help adding to, if you come and harass me, and I'll just volunteer Leonard as well, we can certainly try and help you add that to your applications, or you can just read the documentation, which has improved since last year.
Unfortunately, I only have 10 minutes left, so it's going to be much.
Maybe we should just discuss some of the concepts perhaps then. And
yeah, be quick.
Yeah. That might be easier then. Yes, no, it's not. Yeah, maybe if it'll work. I'll just switch back for a second, if you excuse me, 1 second. Ah, yeah, that will work well. I'll just try it once more and hope that it doesn't kernel panic. Actually, it might just be easier. Maybe we'll just do that rather than... If the internet works, relying on the internet for talks is a terrible idea. Not only can I change slides, but I have a mouse. And so maybe I can work for you. The problem is it's very sort of inaccurate. Yeah, if you just give me a veteran. It's not quite as accurate as a mouse. This is just our website running track, which has the SEN source. Yeah. Hopefully this is enough to point with. Maybe I can't click, but I can point. So I'm just sort of going to briefly go through. So I'll just sort of walk through it a bit. I'll try not to get too boring because it's probably going to bore everyone else. But essentially, to use Avahi, the first thing that you need to do is to create an instance of the client. Avahi uses Dbus to communicate to the daemon. We sort of abstract that behind our own API. So, make the font bigger. Yeah, let's go something like that. Maybe, is that big enough or bigger? Is that good? Much better. Yeah, okay. Now I lost where we were. And, right, there we go. There's the main function. This is an example application in Avahi, so you can refer to this. The poll API is something I'll talk about shortly, but basically we've got a little abstraction for integrating Avahi with a main loop, such as the glib main loop or the Qt main loop, or Qt, I should say. There's a drink. Or any other main loop that you may have. Some people have obviously got custom main loops. It's basically abstraction for watching file descriptors and firing off a callback and watching timeouts and firing off a callback, but I'll talk a little more about that shortly. So the first thing we need to do is create an instance of the client, which basically just gives you a handle. If you ever use gconf or anything like that, it's kind of similar. These arguments are pretty standard if you look in documentation. You see the main one that's important is the client callback, which is a function which is called when the state of the server changes, such as when it's starting, if you get a hostname collision, and that sort of thing. Pardon? How often is the callback called? Oh, so the way it works with us is that we give you a file descriptor to watch to the main loop, which is dbus actually gives us, and when that sort of has an active read, then you fire off the callback to Avahi, and it processes those events. And there's also some timeout. I'm not sure how much that's used in the client API.
Quite a lot. Dbus use it quite a lot to test if a massive timeouts.
For the most part, yeah. In other parts of Avahi, it's a little bit different, but for the client library, for the most part.
Actually, that abstraction is also used by the Avahi server itself. So you can actually embed the Avahi daemon into another application. So that's why we have a generic event loop. Actually, if I would program Avahi again, I wouldn't bother about this anymore and just use a glib main loop. But back then, the KDE people were quite a bit had strong opinions on glib. So in order to make them happy, we decided to do without glib, and therefore we added this event loop abstraction layer.
This might work better. That's better. Right. So then the next step is to create what we call a service browser. It basically says to Avahi, I want to discover all services of a certain type. In this case, as you can see here, we're looking for HTTP services. And that's what this little magic flag here, HTTP and TCP. We're also telling Avahi that we don't care what interface it's on. If your application really cares, you can instruct Avahi only to browse on certain interfaces and only with IPv4 or only with IPv6. In most applications, you just tell it that you don't care. And then again, you've got another callback, which is the browse callback, which is fired when a service is discovered. The Avahi API is very asynchronous in nature, so it's very event-based because that's the nature of MDNS itself. As services come and go on the network, what services you can see change constantly. You can't just grab a snapshot sort of thing. And obviously we're also passing in the client, and we're passing that as some user data. The last one's a bit of user data, so if you want to pass a structure or something to the callback so that you know what your state is, you can do that. And then most of that's just cleanup code. And then in our case, we call simple poll loop. Simple poll is just a example main loop that we've got in Avahi for writing simple applications like that. But you'd probably integrate that with glib or something in a real application. So if you go up to the client callback, in this case, all it's doing is if there's a failure, it's printing an error message that's just here. So it just calls a function. You can check the state. And if there's a failure, print out an error message. There's not a whole lot to that.
And there's a new missing.
Failure.
Now this is a slightly more interesting function, which is the browse callback. So every time a service is discovered, this function is called. So you can see here we've got the state Avahi browser new, and you can see it's just running a printf in this case because all it's doing is printing it out on the console. In a real application, you'd add it to your list of services or list of music down the side and that sort of thing. And it's got just saying new service and it gives you the name of the service.
I think we should show the function parameters so that everyone can understand. Yeah, unfortunately, the function, the list of function arguments are quite long in Avahi, so we pass a lot of information about the services found, which is the interface it was found on, the protocol if it was found with, the events that happened if a service was found or if a service was removed, or if a failure happened or whatever. The name is, of course, the name of the service, some user human readable string. And the type is HTTP, TCP in this case, because we explicitly ask for it. And the domain is the domain we are looking in, which is usually, if we are doing this on mdns.local. And then we have some special flags, which are pretty irrelevant in this point. So, yeah.
Yep. So that's the information that's passed in. So you can see here in the printf, which is here, we're printing out the name and the type, because the name is sort of the interesting bit. It'd be like Lappy, it's music. and the type would be HTTP, though you usually use no HTTP, but that's irrelevant. Yeah. Only a bit of time. Well, I'll finish off this last bit. Maybe we'll leave it there. And the other thing is we've got here is obviously if the service is removed.
You forgot the most interesting part. I mean,
Resolver, yeah. I was going to get back to that because that was the next bit, but yeah, we are running out of time. If the service is removed, it tells you that. One other thing we have is if you want to present just a list of services you can find for now, obviously with Avahir, services are constantly coming and going, but if you want to get a rough idea of what's there now, it fires off a flag called All For Now, which says, I think that's all the services there are right now, and then I'll keep updating you about it. Are we on time, or are we just... Right. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, so I don't really have enough time to go through it. If anybody wants this explained or wants help with it, then come and see either myself or Leonard, and that's pretty much it, I guess.